You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Governor Newsom is taking another reproductive step forward following the Supreme Court ruling overturning Roe versus Wade and leaving the choice to states. California has launched abortion.ca.gov, a website dedicated to those seeking abortion information and resources. The site is for both Californians and those out of state. Joining us to learn more is Amy Tong, Secretary of the Government Operations Agency, and Jody Hicks, President and CEO of Planned Parenthood Affiliates of California. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Amy, I want to start with you. You became Secretary of the Government Operations Agency in March of this year. What is your role in this?
I get to lead a team of technical staff from the Office of Data and Innovation and Department of Technology, and partnering with Planned Parenthood as well as Public Health to create this resource tool online.
You have a long tenure with the state. Your prior positions are Department of Technology Director, California Health and Human Services. You know, your bio states also that you've been really a champion of user-centered design, which doesn't reflexively have people think of state websites. So how did both roles, both technology and public health, benefit this launch?
Thank you for calling that out specifically. I think this is one other example that the state is really trying to transform to the way that, you know, we are here to deliver public service, and our audience and our users has to drive how they wanted to receive those information and resources, so that this site is specifically designed with that participation of our users. And thank you to Planned Parenthood for hosting a stakeholder that has more than 40 entities participated to give us feedback on what are the information, what is the color of the website, what is the terminology that's used, the placement of information that would be best to help our users to utilize this.
For those who haven't actually been to the website yet, this just launched this week. Amy, how would you describe it?
We took a lot of thoughts into putting the website together where that the most relevant or probably highly seeking information is the location of the clinic. So that is readily available on the very top, and it gives you the choice of, if you do know a particular city, not zip code, that you do want to go, you could search and narrow the results. But understanding there are folks that are coming out of the state that do not know where our cities are, it does provide a statewide view on the map, so they can have a choice of where they want to go as well. You know, examples like that is just a way of us, you know, making the site very, very opening and welcoming to anybody seeking the reproductive services.
Jody, as head of Planned Parenthood in California, as Amy just said, you really helped guide the state in making this user-friendly. What were the big, what were the main ingredients that you wanted for this website?
Sure. And, this was one of the biggest recommendations coming out of the Future of Abortion Council that was put together almost a year ago. And really trying to understand the impact of what the Dobbs decision would be. And now we're living in this post-Roe reality, but really looking at it from a very patient-centric point of view. And we've been talking with our colleagues in a state like Texas. We were learning from Texas at the time, because it was the first state that banned abortion, and what that experience was. And there's so many patients that have never traveled outside of the state that they live in. They're young people. They're navigating a public health system that's really hostile to their needs. And we have to reimagine how people get that care right now. So traditional tools are, you punch in your zip code and you're really looking for providers that are where you're at right now. But for these folks, you have to look at, where are providers in some other place, and we don't know where that place is. And so now here we are, we're in this reality where pretty soon more than half the country is going to not have access to care that one in four women of reproductive age need. And so this website is really designed that if you know that California is a place that will have safe and accessible abortion that's legal and available, how can you get that information? Or honestly, if your patients in California, there's so much misinformation and disinformation right now, people are just confused about what is is legal. California patients are not excluded from that. I hear from them where people are saying, do I have to hurry and get an IUD? What is happening? They don't know the state of affairs because it's changing so rapidly and there's so much misinformation. So this is a website that lets you know what your legal rights are, lets you know where you can find care, resources that are available. And I really am just so proud of California for putting that work into it.
Do you have an idea of how many clinics roughly are available to people in California?
So we have over 100 Planned Parenthood clinics, and that's not including independent providers. They all vary in different types of abortion that they provide, some medication and some surgicals, but all of that. And again, that information is important to know wherever your call home and wherever you're seeking care. And that information will also be on the website.
Yeah, I would imagine, you know, over 100 clinics, you know, specifically with Planned Parenthood across 58 counties, you know, that you're hearing different needs depending on where they are located and who they serve. And did that go into shaping a user-friendly website? Because not only are there abortion steps, types of abortion, even how to pay, there's even information for individuals who are undocumented, under 18 years old, or even with language barriers.
Absolutely. And more to come as the website evolves. There'll be more information in different languages, more information as we continue to learn what patients are needing right now. You know, we're 2 months past Dobbs and we're still learning patient patterns and what that flow is going to look like. We're definitely seeing an uptick, for instance, in any city with an airport. You know, we know people like to drive, but that's dependent on how close that is. Or sometimes they just know someone in Los Angeles or in, you know, a city. And so they want to know what kind of care they can get there if they have a friend that they can stay with. So as we learn more, as more happens, we expect the website to evolve with that knowledge as well.
Amy, I want to get into this component of privacy and how the website doesn't track or save information.
Yeah, that is actually one thing very unique about this particular site. First of all, the entire resource kit online is developed by in-house resources. And with the understanding that there's, you know, extreme sensitivity that, you know, about, you know, privacy and all that, this site designed in a way that we do not track users. We do not use outside partners to run any of the analytics, and we do not collect IP addresses, you know, to see where people are coming from. And the state does not store that information anywhere or plan to share that information with anybody. So, you know, simply we don't have any of that, and really from the lens of protecting the user's privacy.
Hmm. When looking at the website, I go back to a conversation I had with Senate Pro Tem Toni Atkins at the beginning of the year on this topic. And she explained that it's also about making sure people have all the correct information available before becoming a state legislature. She shared a story about a person in the military seeking an abortion. They actually had an STD and thought it would automatically pass on to their child, which is not the case. Atkins, who worked in the clinic, explained that that's not true. The person went on to have a healthy child, STD-free. Does this website also provide that type of information as well? Since, you know, you're not really confronted with this information until you're really in the thick of it.
Yeah, and I would say these are the feedback that there's a feedback button on the bottom of the website. As more and more people using it, as more questions come up similar to this one, the website is going to continue to evolve with that type of content. And that's why I do want to emphasize this, you know, to Jody's point, that this is, to us, it's an initial launch. And there should be a lot more enhancement to it, but based on our users' feedback.
What kind of response have you had? I know it's only the initial days, Amy.
Very positive. And the fact that, you know, not only the information is out there, it's easy to use. And also that, you know, I know sometimes people hear about, oh, website, if there's a lot of user, is it slow? We took all of that into consideration. So people can easily access this over their mobile phone. And if there's a limited bandwidth or, you know, a Wi-Fi connection, this website would not be, you know, triggering any slowness or anything. So it's a lightweight resource tool for everyone out there.
I'm curious, Amy, since you worked during the pandemic, you know, and we still are in one, how did that shape how this website was created?
Thank you for bringing up the pandemic war. My goodness, we has a very similar approach to something called the COVID-19 that CA.gov that became the official website. Speaking of, you know, there are other sites that may have misinformation or people just have a lot of, you know, information that accessible to a lot of misinformation. We want to make sure everything is in a easy to access that CA.gov to and then has an official logo on it. Number one. Number two, that the information is easily accessible regardless of the connectivity of the device that you use. And there's also phone numbers, I believe, that it was listed under the contact. So in case there are folks that they just have a better way of connecting over the phone, those resources are being, you know, provided as well. So all in all, really coming from a user-centered aspect, what we think the information based on feedback that works for the way that people are expecting. And that's really the pandemic response approach that we took into this design thinking as well.
Jody, given that you said that, you know, places within airport are seeing an uptick in need and services, and we've had this conversation on Insight about a bandwidth resource and just infrastructure issue. What kind of demand are you seeing for resources across the state since you have over 100 clinics?
I mean, they're definitely feeling the impact, especially our Southern California affiliates that are close to Arizona right now. But we've also done the work of investing in infrastructure to prepare for that. The health centers, you know, in addition with website, this website as another resource, health centers have also started hiring patient navigators. So their job, which is newer, their job is when they do get phone calls, they help with some of the logistics, like which airport to go fly into, how they can get from the airport to the health center, where there might be lodging needs. Even one of our health centers, I know, and I'm sure there's more of these stories, helped with childcare, for instance, for somebody that was coming from out of state. And so they've been preparing this entire year for what we knew was coming with this Dobbs decision, and really even prior to that, when we knew that there was threats with the last administration. So they've been doing that work, but definitely feeling the impact right now.
When looking at the map of clinics that are available, both Planned Parenthood and those outside of Planned Parenthood, you know, I expect to see clusters in metro areas like the Bay Area, Los Angeles, Sacramento, but there are stretches of the state without a clinic available. And we know that this will directly impact people in poverty, with socioeconomic disadvantages, people of color. What can be done in terms of having more accessibility for counties like Inyo, Mono, Kern, Imperial, or even up towards the Oregon border?
I mean, that's right. That was part of when we were looking at things from the Future of Abortion Council. It was both in California, right, that there's still deserts, there's still people within California that have to travel some 25 miles in order to get care. I mean, some of that is, and we've done a lot of work, and the state has as well, improving telehealth capabilities and even, you know, how our health centers can take advantage of that and really use telehealth as a good tool, including for things like medication abortion if you're in California. And so, and then also, again, infrastructure. I know they're looking at where health centers need to be placed. That's not something that can happen overnight, but it's certainly part of the planning of where we need actual clinics and where we need to improve with telehealth in order to reach patients as they need the care.
Finally, I want to get to a hypothetical that's being discussed as a possibility, depending on the makeup of Congress or even the next president. And that is if the legislative or executive branch or both ban the right to abortion. You just recently, like this week, Senator Lindsey Graham, a Republican, proposed an abortion ban after 15 weeks after the first trimester, with exceptions for rape, incest, and the life of a pregnant person. What conversations are you having with other Planned Parenthood chapters across the country? What recourse could California have?
Well, you know, part of, again, what the legislature did is also put Proposition 1 on the ballot, which is ensuring that in our California Constitution, we have reproductive freedom, including abortion and contraception. It's not a foolproof protection against a federal ban, but it certainly is another tool that our attorney general would have to fight back against a federal ban within the state of California. And that was part of the reason for doing that, as well as ensuring that our own California legislature, no matter what it looks like, that people have protections. And I think it's also information. We're definitely seeing, right, that people, 70% of Americans did not want Roe v. Wade overturned, and they certainly want they wanted to have a protection that no longer exists, and they certainly do not want at the federal level to institute a ban and take away that protection even further than it already has been. And so I think, you know, us doing that work as well is really talking with voters and ensuring that really abortion is on the ballot. I think we've been saying that for a long time. I'm not sure people believed it. We're seeing across the country, they believe it now, and they're acting, and we're hearing those voices. And that's what we have to do as we are grappling with this impact that we had a federal protection, a civil right taken away. And I don't know when, if ever, that's ever happened for people in our country. And so we're really having to reinvent how we take that back right now.
Amy, in the last 20 seconds or so that we have, what conversations are you having with your colleagues at the state?
I mean, we're here specifically from my role, it's trying to make sure that, you know, once the decisions are made, the information, what we can provide, we can make it out there as easily accessible as possible. And I would just have to say, you know, as a woman in California and a long-term public servant, I was just very proud to have this opportunity to create this resource kit. And just so that for the women that have a safe place to find helpful information.
Amy Tong is the Secretary of Government Operations Agency. Jody Hicks is the President and CEO of Planned Parenthood Affiliates of California. Thank you both for joining us. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.